He went away.
He had never saw his grandchildren in the car accident and he was very sick.
Yeah, but he had to an accident. Okay, we just thought he was just like very busy man. No. Okay. Torreyway, Northwest London, Monday, Chof Ches Sivan, 27th of June, Rav Geshen Arya Duna Shlita, Tzavos Rebbe Yehuda Chosid.
Good morning, everyone. Today we'll discuss a little bit about Tzavos Rebbe Yehuda Chosid. Many people know various parts of the Tzavos. We won't go through the whole thing because there were 77 different Tzavos. Each one really had a lot could be said about each one. But we'll try a brief summary of the background and we'll go through a little bit. So, is this Tzavos? Is it halachically required to keep? Is it a minig? Is it an inyan? Is it just superstition? So let's see what the poskim have to say about it. Some of them are very famous, yeah? Everyone knows that two brothers can't marry two sisters, but why? Tzavos Rebbe Yehuda Chosid. Everyone knows people who did so. So we'll discuss, we'll go through everything. Some are less famous, like one of the tzavos is, not to polish one's shoes on the day that one travels. Now, that tzavos is so not famous that in most airports around the world they have special shoe polishing things, which are clearly in direct contradiction to tzavos Rebbe Yehuda Chosid. So we'll go through.
Not even.
What's the reason? Each one should go through one at a time. Let's go slowly. So firstly, who was Rebbe Yehuda Chosid? So, we're not sure when he was born. He was born sometime between 1100 and 1130. So he's a Rishon. When his mother was pregnant, she had a nes. Now this story many people attribute to Rashi, but there was a nes that took place with his mother. She was walking along a wall of a shul, and a carriage was bearing down on her with a horse was in the carriage. And I don't know if the guy intentionally or not intentionally wanted to run her over, and she squished in the wall, and the wall bent, and she was saved miraculously from being killed. And that story, the earliest Svarim bring down, about Rebbe Yehuda Chosid. Later on, in the last 100 years, that story became about Rashi, but Parshas it was Rebbe Yehuda Chosid, and there's a Psariah baby, because Rashi was born in Troyes, not in Worms, and the story happened in Worms, but, okay. Rikki Eger brings down that it happened about Rebbe Yehuda Chosid, others say about Rashi, but Agapah. So, who was Rebbe Yehuda Chosid? He was a Gadol Hador in his generation. His Talmidim were very famous Rishonim, the Rokeach, the Or Zeruah, the Hagos Maimoni, the Smug, and the Smak. When the Ramah passes a Halacha, he normally, the Mechaba, the rule, goes with two out of three of the Sephardi Rishonim, the Rambam, the Rif, and the... I think it's the Rosh, the Ramah, and the Rif. So the Mechaba normally goes with Rover those three opinions. However, the Ramah does. The Ramah has a whole different bunch of Rishonim. The Ramah's Rishonim... What is it? He goes with all the German, he goes with Ashkenazi at Rishonim often. Often it's the Rishonim who, when you learn a sugya, you would never open. Yeah, you wouldn't even know where to find them. But they codify the halacha which Ramah went with, and therefore we go with those Rishonim. And many of the Rishonim were Talmidim of the Yehuda Chosid. In Hagadah Maimoni, remember, Hagadah Maimoni was Talmidim, in Tanis, Perik Aleph Halacha Beis, he brings down that the halacha that normally you're not allowed to fast on Shabbos. Yeah, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you can't fast. There's a whole rave to do about Rosh Hashanah, should you eat before davening or before tekiyah, not to fast. But he says, if you have someone who's a very holy fellow, and he fasts the whole week, every day of the week he likes to fast, and therefore when it comes to Shabbos, for him to eat on Shabbos is a shtickle damaging. It's not like a tanuk for him to eat a big Shabbos meal with kishka and gala and grievan. It's just damaging to him because he's normally used to not eating. Then he's also allowed to fast. It's not called a stira to his own Shabbos. V'kach hoya noyeg Rebbe Yehuda HaChosid. He fasted every day of the week and therefore on Shabbos as well. So we're talking about someone who didn't really live in this world. He was very porous from Olam Hazeh. The Ozeruah brings down that there's a story about the Beis Halevi. But someone came, I said the story in the Mishmarosh, so I apologize, there's another story. Someone came to Beis Halevi very angry that why did he bring out a sefer called Shul Beis Halevi where he's so machmer. He said that nowadays the Dor needs to have kulas, not chumras. And Beis Halevi on the top of his head said, I don't know what you're talking about. My sefer is a collection of kulas. And he said, what do you mean? It's not at all any colours. He said, I'll tell you straight away what the colours are. And he started whipping off colour after colour. Now, each colour was a colour which you would not call a colour, but he did. For example, he said, one colour is, the machlokas, can you say yoitzrus in chalas hashat, or is it a hefsek? He said, I'm mekel, and I say, no problem, you can say yoitzrus. He said, not a machlokas, whether you're allowed to learn on Shabbos afternoon, which is Erev Tishavov. There are many machmirim. He goes, no, I'm mekel, and I say you're allowed to learn the whole Shabbos afternoon. He had a few more examples. One there was, there's a machlokas where they're allowed to fast for 48 hours, beretzifus, over Yom Kippur because of Sveika de Yoima. Others say you shouldn't because it's dangerous. I'm Mikkel, in my safe, and I say if someone will be so inclined because of Sveika de Yoima, they want to keep 2 days Yom Kippur, they can't do so. Now, bring the Oriz Ruah, Rabbi Huda Chosid was knowing this color, and he would fast 48 hours straight over Yom Kippur because of Sveika de Yoima. Okay. Rabbi Huda Chosid is also quoted by Tosfos in various places in Shas. In Bav Metzia, Daf Hei, and in Ksubos Daf Yud Ches, he's quoted by Tosfos, also in the Modchen Tashbatz, quote him. He's a mainstream Rishon. Okay. The Pshat Rav brings down that he was a bigger Boki in all of these esoteric inyonim than anyone who came after him. And therefore, Ein Laharher Acharav, if he says something, we should listen to him. Now we'll see, not everything we listen to him, but we'll go through some of it.
You should listen,
No, he said we should. We'll see, we have some reasons to be make some of the things. Okay. Now, there are a few problems. Some things in Tzavah seem to be neged, mefurish what it says in Chazal. Some things in Tzavah seem to be often a psukim in the Torah. So, it's very not clear how we react to such things. I once saw someone say that Halavai, Rabbi Yehuda Chosid, would have brought down his Tzavah, the Aseret Hadibros. Because then people will be much more careful in keeping them. Because the Halavai, the Aseret Hadibros, no, but Rabbi Yehuda Chosid. Okay. The Moshe brings down the only things that we understand the reason for, we should be machmir for. But things that are ununderstandable, that we should not be machmir for. But really, most things that Achronim really bring down, there are reasons for. And again, I'm sorry I haven't actually got involved in the actual nitty-gritty. We'll do so in a second. When Reb Chaim Palladji was asked about one of the Tzavahs with the Chosid, do we have to, can we cut our nails on Rosh Chodesh? Very different things. He said, listen, there are Sfarads you make all over, but it's a Sofik Sakona. If you're going against the Tzavah, there could be a Sakona involved, and therefore I'm reluctant to be Mekel. There's a famous Tshuva Noed B'Yehuda. Noed B'Yehuda says the Tzavah was only written for the descendants of Ruda Chosid, but not for anyone else. Because with that, he reconciles many things in the Gemara with the Tzavah. Because, how can you... One Tzavah, it says that you're not supposed to marry your niece. So, Rabbi Chosid. But the Maaseh, the Gemara says before, Shevamah Samach Beis, that it's a mitzvah to marry your niece. So, how do you reconcile that? How could Rabbi Chosid say something that the Gemara calls a mitzvah, say that you shouldn't? And that you say, maybe you're only talking to his descendants. And we'll get more involved shortly. And this Tzavah of the Noed B'Yehuda is used by the Divrei Chaim, the Tzemach Tzedek, the Maharsham, the Shem Arya, and Egus Moshe as a tziruf when you have a shayv. Okay. The Maharsham once said at a meeting of Rabbonim that it's not mistaba to say that only for his descendants, because the Maharsham's name was Shmuel and his father's name was Yehuda, and one of the tzavahs is not to call your children Shmuel or Yehuda. So he says, not mistaba that it's really for descendants, because I'm a descendant and that's what his name was. Okay. He says maybe it was only for Rehuda Chosid's own children, which is a whole chiddush. I'll see in a second there's kashas on that chiddush as well. Okay. So, sometimes it's brought the halacha in the Mechaba and the Ramah, it's Tzavah Rehuda Chosid. A few examples are, Mechaba brings down, Ein lohoniach kever pasuach. In Yerodei Shin Lamates, you should not dig a grave and leave it open overnight. I'll go through that shortly. You'll see that there are some svaras to be mekel. Unfortunately, in the beginning of Corona, the Federation based akvaras was unfortunately being used so often, they asked Rav Zimmerman, can they get the guy just to dig loads and loads and loads of graves and then fill it up one at a time? Otherwise, every time a new person dies, get it just back and forth, just get the guy with the digger to come once and dig 20 graves. Because that's how fast they were using the graves, and that was neged the Mechaba and the Tzavah, and therefore they had to reconcile how they could do that by Oifen Hetter, and they had the Oifen Hetter, which we'll discuss in a minute. Another thing about Halacha and the Ramah and Yerodea is not to shech the goose in Shvat, There are people that are much on that. Now, a more famous one is not to be a sandik for the same family twice. That many people have heard of, and again, we'll discuss shortly the reasoning behind that. But those are tzavahs with a chassid, one of the 77 tzavahs, which are brought lahalacha in mainstream halacha. Okay. Others say that, very nice, the Rebbe says only for his descendants. But nowadays, who knows if he's a descendant of Rebbe Chassid or not, yeah? If Rebbe Chassid lived 900 years ago, it's very mistaba that most people in this room are descendants. But they just don't know, because no one knows their genealogy well enough, and therefore, even if you could say that, it would still have to be machmir because of a sofer. Now, the one of the rayas, there are a few fascinating savars, yeah? So one of them is Savar Nun Aleph. And Savar Nun Aleph, he brings... So first he says, Lo Yikra Ish Mizara Yitkanoi Yehuda V'lo Shmo. That we mentioned, don't call your son Yehuda or Shmo. Then he says, Lo Yodur Rav Behilberg. A rabbi should not live in the town Hilberg. They shouldn't have a Rav. Ki Lo Yarech Yomim Shom. No Rav in Hilberg. So one time, wouldn't. Poor Hilberg. Hilberg can never have a rabbi. There's got to be a town of Amaratzim at Sovkla Doris because of Savar. No. Elamai, he's talking to his Eniklach, but he's very happy for someone else to become a Rav in Hilberg. And with that, Hilberg will be saved from being Amratzim Adoich. So that's one of the proofs they want to say that it's not for his, that's only for his children. Now, we mentioned the Mavshal said it's only for his sons. The question on that is, in that same Savar he brings, Lo Yodr Koyen, a Koyen should not live in Regensburg. Now, if he wasn't a Koyen, then he can't say it only for his sons, because his sons would not have been Kohanim. And therefore, you cannot say that in Marashah that was only written for his children, because they will not be Negea, but a Kohen. Agav, the Achronim ask, what on earth? Why can a Kohen never step foot in Regensburg? And they want to say that probably Rav Chassid had the knowledge that there was some Tumas Beis HaPras there, that there were some bones that were there, and they got ploughed up and moved all over the place. And therefore, wherever you would walk in Regensburg, there might be bones. And therefore, he's saying a Kohen shouldn't go there, and therefore they're trying to say a halachic reason behind that tzava. Okay. So let's go through some of the tzavar slowly. Tzavar base, which you mentioned before, is not to leave an open grave. Now, many of the first 20 tzavars got to do with death. It's quite a death-connected tzavar.
Would it not be just common sense?
Not to leave an open grave, well, you might fall in.
Okay, why can't you leave it open?
Because people fall in.
It's locked. No, you can cover it.
I mean, you can put a gate around it.
What I just want to say is that there are certain ideas that have common sense rather than any kabbalistic.
Yeah. No, but it sounds like he's not worried about Burbs Rabbim. Anyway, the apostle, it's also to build a bar. If it's bar, it's loish merendo. It sounds like it's more than just a dinner of Burbs Rabbim. Ein lachtsev kever on yach besoach im ein neustenim boi hameis ba'oid yoim. Oh wait, no, it gets a bit more hocus pocus. Ve'im yanichu pasuach ad aboike, if you leave it open overnight, ve'yomim muatim yomus echad b'bnei ha'e. So it really sounds more like just a bava kama dika worry that people will fall in. If you do so, people are going to die, someone in the city is going to die. Kriega brings down, within 15 days, someone is going to die.
Superstitious.
So the post can bring down pshatim. So some post can basically bring two different nuschot, but some to do with either the kleiches atumah come there by night, or the mazikim are coming to attach themselves to a dead body. Because dead body, you know, the mazikim are alert today. There's an open grave. Obviously, a dead body is coming. Off we go to visit the dead body. And then they come. There's no one around. Okay, so we'll attach ourselves elsewhere and cause damage. That's one mahalach. The Berakhi Yosef brings down. There's only osa for a particular person. You have someone who's unfortunately dying, he's a goisus. They go, you know what, let's really dig a grave for him. That's when the issa was said, because it's like a rare mazze, it's a bad luck charm to dig, even though it's Indian to buy a caver, but to already go all the way and dig it, that's already, it's bad luck.
You don't go for a bad luck charm.
No, it's rare mazze. There is some sort of muzzle which he's worried about. Now, this is such a concern, it's a halachic danger that Aruch HaShulchan discusses, that if you have an open grave and you realize on Friday night that it's an open grave, you're allowed to do Amira La'akum on Shabbos and tell him to dig and fill it in, rather than have this danger of having an open grave. Which in Mamish means it's not only superstition, it's a real tangible concern. It has halachic ramifications that we make on Amira La'akum, which is a big chiddush. Okay. There are kashas on it. The kashas are the Gemara Ma'ariv Kotan Daches, who says that you should not dig a kaver b'moyed. And Rashi there says that the minig was to dig a grave in case you need it in the future. So it's be mefurish, not like tzava or beis. In Baba Kama, there's a sugya, in Baba Basra, Dafkuf, Hamoicher Kivroi. Rabbam says that they used to make b'chayeyem a kaver ready b'shvil kivro. What's going on? So it says... No, it sounds like it's already dug, I'm asking. Says the Stei Chemet that, and this was what Rav Zimmerman Paskin for the Federation, that if you do not dig the grave to its final depth, and you leave it, let's say a couple of tfachim shorter, then the mazikim won't come, and then the issa is not set. So Rav Zimmerman said in Corona, you dig the graves almost fully, and therefore when you have to chashram use them, there won't be a lot of work involved, and that will be the way out, not to have a problem. Now, the Brik Yosef brings down... Yeah, it's mutter, yeah? Rabbi Yosef says only osa for Adam Masuyim. So the fee that, RP his shitta. Rabbi Yosef said the only problem was that it's bad luck for the goises that you're already digging a grave when he's still alive. So the fee of Rabbi Yosef in Corona, there'll be no problem. You're not digging for Adam Masuyim, you're just digging for English Jewry, and then whoever will unfortunately pass away, they're put in that grave, that would not be a problem, yes?
People say that to belong to a Chevra Kaddisha is a school of Arichas Yomim. So L'choyer, to have a grave prepared, should also be a school of L'arichas.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds like it's, but he's very clear, he's not happy about it.
Byproduct is a school of...
That's registered school, it's a byproduct. Yeah. But it sounds like to dig it is already dangerous.
Byproduct is not from...
No, not from the I don't believe so. Okay, next. Savar Yud Beis, this... The old generation here knows. If you want to work out who in the crowd is an old generation, it's like more of an older thing to know. Not to revisit the same cave on the same day. You heard the thing?
Yeah.
People who frequent Beis HaChaim, normally older people, they know you don't go back to the same cave in the same day.
You go to Beis HaChaim more than once in a month.
I don't remember. I went through most of them this morning. I don't think it's here. Lo yelech adva keve echa beikon b'yoyim echad, elo yivakesh korot soinoi, v'la yoshev oid ad lemocha. Don't go back the same day. This is brought down a shtickle in halacha. The Arizal brings this, Mangavram, Rikviega, and the kids Shulchan Aruch all bring down this halacha. The Achronim do say, if you're still within four amas, it's not called that you have departed, and you are allowed to go back. If you are still in the Beis HaKvaros, even the Be'er Moshe, the Betzina Rav, is Masupah, can you go back? And the Yad Ephraim brings down, this is important, only to go back and daven for something else. But if you left your wallet or your car key by the kever, there is no need to sleep in the Beis HaChaim overnight until next morning to take your car key, but then you would be allowed to go
if
back.
If you found in a cave, you can't take it out.
Is that true?
Yes. I have a case to someone who's a dealer and also he bears people.
If something fell in the cave, you can't retrieve it. You want to worry if a person fell in? If a person falls in, you'll say. Okay. Next. Savar Chav Beis. This is the Lo Yisra Adam Bas Achiv or Bas Achiv. So not to marry your niece. So this is where the very gorgeous. The Gemara and Vamos and Sanhedrin brings down. No, not cousins. What nieces? Isa, Bas Achiv or Bas Achiv. So a niece marrying an uncle. Again, a man cannot marry his aunt, but a man can marry his niece. But the cousin says you shouldn't, and that they ask. So the Gemara and Vamos and Sanhedrin. Tanabana, Makariv is Kroivov. Vanoi says someone Makariv is Kroivim, and he married Bas Achiv. So all of a cost of Omer, all Tikva Vashem Yane. It's a very good thing. And Paskin the Rambam and the Ramah, the Mitzvah Lisa Bas Achiv. So this is really a problem. Yeah, this is almost going mafurish against what it says in the Gemara. As Noam Huda is very, very, very angry about this, and he cannot be happy to have someone paskling Deloika the halacha. And he says sharp words, basically. He says, "Ei rushus la adam leilich neged ha-Torah. Ve'im also came, vadai uloi chacham. Ve'im on yoidim shu chacham." So what do you do when you have someone who's a vadai chacham, he's a Rebbe of all Rishonim, you have to therefore find a way to infer that he's only speaking for a certain time or for a certain family, and then he goes on to say, Elamai, he's only talking to his descendants but not to everyone else. The Rechaim tried to explain Pshat in this Tzavah, and he said that just like you find Yibum is a mitzvah, yeah, it's a mitzvah to do Yibum, and still Chazal said to do Chalitza. Similarly, Rav Chosin said, even though there's a mitzvah, I am, in my wisdom, saying not to do so. Chacham Avadia is not very happy. He says no. He says Yibum is be'etzim an aveira of eishes ach, and therefore be'etzim is a problem. On that, it's mutar mokra mitzvah. And there Chazal said, no, maybe the others don't do it to shame mitzvah, and therefore we'll put it back to its original issa. But you can't compare that to over here, where there's no downside in marrying your niece, and therefore there should be no problem at all in doing so.
There could be a downside.
Medical. That's what I'm about to say next.
Make an inter-family problem.
If it doesn't work out.
Earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
Uncles could be chasing their nieces and
I hear.
So how does it help to say that it was only for his own children and grandchildren? So then they also have the same mitzvah.
But they say that. Do they say he saw the Ruach Kodesh? They want to say that they wouldn't be matliach doing that. It wouldn't be a happy marriage. Okay. He's entitled to it. No, that's not a stira to what the Torah says. The Aaron Hashar brings down that Be'etzen, there's always a chashash medical issues when you marry someone so close related. In Babov, where I descend from, they do into Babov Shaduchim, and before they do so, they do a medical test to make sure that the genes are compatible enough. There shouldn't be any medical issues, because unfortunately there has been cases in the past where people marry someone very close related in the family, and then the children have some sort of genetic issues, and therefore there are medical tests nowadays one can do to try and stop it. So the Aaron Hashar, that was Shatan Tzavah, yeah, he says that. Married his first cousin. First cousin, yeah.
If it's a mitzvah,
show him a mitzvah. Oh, so that's in the mitzvah, show mitzvah yidavaro. But however, if you're not mechavon Hashem mitzvah nowadays, then you've lost the show mitzvah yidavaro, and therefore you might have a medical issue.
But cousins is also a problem?
No.
That's
a cousin. Now, you're here to ask more questions on the tzavah. The tzavah chof zayin. La Yisru Shnei Achim, Isha, or Bita. Two brothers should not marry two sisters.
Mother and daughter.
You can't marry two sisters or you can't marry mother and daughter. Great. Now you heard the Gemara in Subas, Daf, Numbes, where Papa and his son married two sisters. Problem. Yeah, I got what the reasons are. I couldn't be down, maybe because of iron horror, whatever. Okay, next question. In Savar Chof Hei, he says, Lo Yisru Shnei Achim Shnei Achim. It's the famous one. Two brothers may not marry two sisters. Freik, the one bracha brings down, there were 80 Kehanim who were brothers, who married, not one family of brothers, but there were 80 pairs of brothers, who married 80 sisters. Problem. Now, if you look at that Gemara, at the end of that Gemara, there has a bit of a sticky end, and they all end up getting killed. So Zichron Yehuda said, then Echanami, you're right. Look at that Gemara, it wasn't such a gewaldig ending, and therefore you see that maybe it's not so matzliach to do so. The reason they say not to marry two brothers sisters, either because of ayin hara, or because you mevatel mitzvahs yibum. Because if, Cheshvan, this is back to your vamas, if you have two brothers married sisters, one brother dies, yeah, then she can't do yibum, because she's the erev, she's a tzara of the erev, she's... She can't have one man married to sister, therefore that could be a reason why not.
There's also the issue of a man having a shidduch with a girl
from
the same name as his mother.
We'll get there. There's lots of good ones. Another kasha. It says that the Edom and the Shver shouldn't have the same name. Yeah, everyone knows this one, can't have the same name. Then the Gemara and Sotz of Yud, who says that Shmuel, Saba had a shver called Shmuel. So what's going on? Yeah, the Rambam that Chayim go through Shas asking Kash after Kash. There they say they had two names. There he had one name. So it's going to be okay. I'll tell you one nice story. My brother-in-law, Rabbi Zalman Krasner. So when he went to invite Rabbi Avraham Yeshua, the Shiva Bris, to his chasna, he told him a nice story. He said that my sister is called Zisel Leah Yehudis, and when she was going to be named, my father wanted to call her Zisel Malka, and he called up Shlomo Bobova. Just before he gave her name, he always called her Shlomo Bobova. He said, I've got a mind to call Zisel Malka. And my rabbi said, nah, I don't think it's a good idea. You should call Zisel Leah Yehudis. Okay, that's what we did. Now, 20 years later, Agav, Shlomo Bobova brings down from, I think, the Hanna Stipler, that when you give a name of a girl, you have to be very careful to make sure that it will stim with the future mother-in-law. And therefore, care should be given. How do you give care? I can't give care, but someone who has Ruach HaKodesh should make sure that it's a good name. So he said, not Zisla Malka, Zisla Yehudis. Fine. My brother-in-law, Zalman Krasner, says, mother is called Sara Malka. And therefore, had the Shrein Bob not interceded, it would have been a problem, mother. So Ramshua was not impressed, because Ramshua is not such a Chassid Shiyid, if you know him. So he said, no, Both of them have two names, Ivy. Yeah, Zisal Malka and Sora Malka. It would have been fine had they gone ahead. Nah, I'm not a chassid. I'd can the story. Back upon him. One of the Savaz is. Now, the Rebbe says, you understand, there are some people who are very much on Savar. Said in Savar, we can't do it. But he said, but they happily take an Amar Aret as a son-in-law. Now, it says Mefurish in the Gemara, that it's also a list of bitter Amar Aret, that they don't give us stuff. But no, not to have the same Mechutonim's name, which will bring down, they might go turn over the whole world not to do. So he can't understand that. Okay. Again, the Rebbe basically says, that you can't have any kashas. So all he was saying was that he saw Ruach HaKodesh that it won't be good for Zara to do these things. And therefore I in the Gemara, first he wasn't a Zara, so he wasn't saying it's Osa. He was saying that they won't be Matzliach. He's able to know, like everyone writes ethical will. Sorry, it's not right there. Everyone writes ethical will. So this was his ethical will. And it's not an Issa. He was saying, I don't believe it'll be good for us to do. Okay. Let's do one more. A person, Savar number Samachim, this is an interesting one. No one's ever done this. I don't believe anyone's ever done this here, correct me if I'm wrong. Lo yechane Adam Bonov Ibnosov, Beis Palmim, Acha Adam Echad. Yeah? Someone lost a very close relative. He decides to call all his 10 sons after his father. Yeah? Lo Shamanu, someone doing that. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know anyone who has kids who are called the same name. Now, it could be, you know, Balagan, it's supper time. Now, you ask, you come for supper, everyone comes running down. I hear it's not practical. What? Not Atamala. Oh, they call the two siblings the same name?
No.
I never heard that. So the Chayyar, now we know why. Yeah, it's Savar, Samach Gimel, Avid HaChassid, not to do so. Now, what is the reason for this? So one reason is Ayin Hara. Yeah, imagine you walk down a road with 20 cute little Yossis. It's Ayin Hara, therefore you shouldn't do so. Another reason is, because there's a Mishnah, there's a Gemara Gittin discusses that he says you're not Chayesh. You never assume that in the same town there's two people with the same Hebrew name. The Gabba Gittin. And therefore, Trey Yosef ben Shimon Leichashina. Now, if you call all your sons the same name, then you'll be stuck. Because then you got in the same town loads of people with the same name, and therefore be a Balagan for a Gittin, and that could be the reason why not. Now, the Achronim also bring down that you shouldn't call your son and your daughter the same name. There are some names that are particularly a uni name you can use either for boy or Simcha. Yeah? There's boys called Simcha and girls called Simcha. So, now, it depends on two reasons before. If you learn the problem for Gittin, there should be no problem. One son, one daughter, it's fine. Because in the get, you can easily work it out. Is it in the man section or the lady section? You won't get confused. I'm saying if it's an Ayin Hara, I understand it's a big Ayin Hara to have loads of Simcha walking down the road, even if half of them boys and half of them are girls. One more Tzavar will do, Tzavar Yod Ches, and that is not to make a base Hamerchat in your house. A mikveh. The Yath of the Merchat, but take base. The Imyase, Habayis Yechrav, his house will be destroyed. Elim Cain, Oiseyu Lirchot Rabin Boy, unless he lets people use it. So, different reasons why. Some people say because Mazikim come to a base Amerikats, and therefore it's not going to bring them into your house. Others bring down that the problem is making a mikveh. We're worried that you might make a mikveh in your house, and then you won't have proper hashgacha. And therefore, if you have a rabbin using it, obviously make sure it's up to scratch. If you make a homemade mikveh, there can be a big mikshul. I was once with Diane Dunner.
Men's mikveh, woman's mikveh.
Oh, so that would be more of an issue for a woman's mikveh.
Sure, that would be a bigger problem.
Correct. I was once with Aaron Lipstein with Diane Dunner. And we went to ask him, Shaila, they found a new way of making a mikveh for $8,000. It was a plastic bathtub, we make a hole in, fix it to the karaka. A halachic, acceptable way of making a mikveh for $8,000. It was amazing, this is groundbreaking news. And therefore many kibbutzim, who could never afford a mikveh, because it costs a few $100,000 minimum, will now have a mikveh. And that'll be a major hatzolah for... And we went to ask Aaron Leib Steinman, what does he hold of this exciting idea? And said the God al-Hador Aaron Leib, it's a very bad idea, scrap the whole thing, delete the whole thing from the record. Why? Because until now, you make a mikveh, you have to make a charity, it costs $500,000, the world experts get involved, you bring in this guy from Monsi, this guy from Gira Sefer, everyone, here you have every Joe Schmo, $8,000 spare, build a mikveh in his back garden, there'll be no hashkacha, there'll be nothing, and the whole stand will be go down, and you can't trust any mikveh, and therefore that could be shot in this savon, and that would be enough commitment.
You see about shaving on
a chosh bojim? Shaving on a chosh, and that's brought down in the Mishaburah. There's two Mishmur about it, because Mishmur brings down that you're allowed to shave on 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, and there it's, but he says Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos, we have to shave on Friday. Because that's always a 2-day Rosh Chodesh then. It's the Steamish Brewer about shaving on
Friday.
It's a Rulachos, it's Rulachos, yeah. No, he does. I haven't got there yet. It means to shame. If I'm ever invited back, we can continue. But here we're going to stop. Shkoy for listening. Have a very, very good day.